This week's Bible lesson, Matthew 25. You want to encourage your class. It'd be interesting to know, I suspect you'd know as a teacher, but to ask on Sunday how many of your people in your class had an opportunity to hear the first volume, the parables, the stories, the lessons that we've done on these. Hopefully we have some new people in our class since we did those lessons, and you'll be able to encourage them and recount a few things with them. The greatest stories ever told, the parables of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25. You remember, let's have a word of prayer together and then we'll get started here, please. Lord, we thank you for this good day that you've given to us, and I pray now that you'd help us in the next few moments as we prepare and plan for our Sunday school. Lord, bless our church this evening, and then as we work toward this weekend, this Sunday, and that we get folks here to hear the Bible teaching in Sunday school hour and the Bible preaching and be encouraged to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Matthew 25, these parables, you'll remind folks that the parables, nearly one-third of Christ's recorded teachings, he taught in parable form. And what is a parable? Well, a parable, as you've seen and you've studied and recall, that a parable is a story that Christ used. He took something familiar to his audience, and we've had all kinds of parables, you know, the sowers and things that were common to people that they understood clearly, and he took some illustration out of their life, and he attached a spiritual truth, or he cast a spiritual truth alongside it, cast it alongside a spiritual truth to help them understand and help his audience. And sometimes it was disciples he was speaking to, sometimes it was large groups of people, multitudes, the Bible calls them. But he spoke in these parables. A third of his teachings found Matthew, Mark, Luke in those three gospel records. And so Christ here again, as we head into another series here on the parables of Christ, and that's what he's done here in Matthew 25. He's taken something very common and something these people understand, and he's going to give a great spiritual truth. Now you'll remember that parables are not, they're not allegorical. There's not significance in every detail. And if you catch hold of that, catch hold, that's what they say in East Tennessee, if you grasp that one truth, then that'll help you as you're studying these parables and as you're preparing to give them to people and make application in their life. What great truth. Pastor says often, place the emphasis where Christ placed the emphasis, where God places the emphasis in his word. And so these parables, what truth are we trying to find as we look at these? Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Let's read it together here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The parable of the bridegroom, Matthew chapter 25. Now again, Christ has taken something very familiar, these people, and that's this picture of a wedding, and he's going to attach this spiritual truth to it and teach them something about the coming of the Lord and people being prepared to meet the Lord. In Christ's day, when there was a wedding prepared or when there was going to be a wedding, a bride was chosen by the groom's father. I have two sons myself. What a task that would be, yes? Go try to find a bride for them. But that's how it was. And so the bride has been chosen, and the groom has been chosen, and the bridesmaids, are here waiting. And that's the picture that we see, 10 of them. They've fallen asleep, and that's the picture that Christ gives us here in this Jewish wedding. The virgins you see spoken of here are like the bridesmaids, and just as Christ is our bridegroom, he as he said in John, he goes to prepare a place for us. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And so Christ gives this picture of the bridesmaids and these virgins waiting for Christ to come. Now, you see three things here by way of this parable or this story as Christ is talking about this wedding and introducing this thought and explaining this thought to these people. First thing we see is the difference between these two groups. The difference between these two groups. You may get lots of things from this story. You say, well, I see five wise and five foolish. Well, I see five that had oil in their lamps and five that didn't have oil in their lamps. You may find lots of contrast, but we want to find what Christ emphasized. And you look down in verse 12, you'll want to mark this now, because here's the point, the difference in these two groups. One clear statement that'll clear it up for you. One statement in verse 12, but he answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. That's the emphasis of this parable. Christ says all the other things. He says, here's a story about this wedding, and these virgins are waiting, and they all fell asleep, all 10 of them. Five of them were prepared, and five of them were not. The warning came that the bride was coming, and they were all alerted, and they got up to trim their lamps. Five had oil in their lamps, and the five that didn't said, please give us some oil so we can be ready. He said, no, we don't have enough, and you have to go get your own. All of those things in the story, but it boils right down to verse 12, where Christ says, the bridegroom says, verily I say unto you, I know you not. That's the difference in the two groups. Five of them the bridegroom knew, and five of them the bridegroom knew not, didn't know. Five of them, as we would say, Christ recognized and were saved. Five of them Christ didn't recognize, and he said, as the language of other scripture, depart from me, for I know you not. That's the difference right here, the main difference. And that's the emphasis that Christ gives us. I know you not. And that is the most important thing. And you'll ask your class. You're pointedly asking people, do you know the Lord? Does Christ know you? Does Christ know you? The statistics sometimes are astounding. And you've heard preachers talk about how many people they think may be sitting in church and just going through the motions and not saved. And I don't know. I don't know. You don't know about me. I know about me. God knows about my salvation, my relationship with Him, but you don't. And if we see people, they learn all the right language, they know where to go, know where not to go, and all those things. But the point right here is there's a difference in these two groups of people, and does the Lord know you? That is the most important thing. And Christ says, here we had a group that was ready and a group that's not. And Christ says, I recognize these and I didn't recognize these. Do you know the Lord? Now, you're not trying to stir doubt in people's mind. I'm encouraged by the fact that because God's word is true, you can be sure of your salvation. Now, that's a great thing. That's a great encouraging thing. And you remember this, I encourage people. I went through a time in my life, and you'll be speaking to many people on this Sunday that have been through times in their life where they doubted, am I saved, am I not saved? I mean, this is a big decision to make. And remember this, the devil's job is to cause doubt in your life. The Holy Spirit sends conviction. And when the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin, and they know that they're not saved. And the devil like to cause you to doubt and make you wonder. But you got to get this thing nailed down in your heart and mind. In your heart and mind. And the folks that we talked to this Sunday get it nailed down in their heart and mind that they know they're saved. Because you're not going to live an effective Christian life until you know for sure that Christ is your Savior. And you'll not speak confidently of Him until you know for sure that it's settled in your heart. But because God's Word is true, Titus says, God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. Because God's word is true. I love John chapter 10, and we refer to John a little bit later, but remember, Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's the promise from God's word, that we can know for sure and be sure of our salvation. That's the difference in these two groups of people. Christ said, the bridegroom says, I know you not. Two groups of people. Does the Lord know you? The most important thing that we can give attention to in our life. Secondly, we see here that the door was shut. Boy, a sobering thought. The door was shut. You see in verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The bridegroom came, the warning came, they got up, trimmed their lamps. They had their lamps, but they had no oil, nothing to burn. No oil, no light. So they were gone away. The Bible says the door was shut. Such finality. It was shut. It was closed. Their opportunity had passed. John chapter 10, you want to have your class mark it. in John chapter 10, where Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." There's an opportunity. Christ says, Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What's he speaking of? He's speaking of opportunity. But that opportunity will not be there forever. There will be a time, when the door will be shut. When Christ leaves his Father's right hand, and he appears, and those that are saved, those that have accepted Christ their personal Savior, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We refer to that as the rapture, a glorious time in a Christian's life. But those that have heard the gospel message, the opportunity for them will be over at that point. The door will be shut, and the door was shut. "Whosoever shall call upon me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's opportunity, but the door will be shut. And Christ says, there's a difference in these two groups. I know you, I don't know you, and the opportunity doesn't last forever. The door will be shut. You can see in Revelation 4, Christ talks about the door open. And there's an opportunity to be saved. Now, how long is that opportunity? I don't know. I don't know. We don't know, but Christ is coming again. And this we do know for sure, whenever that time is, it's closer now than it was yesterday in your life and in my life. And that's the opportunity we have. And you've heard the pastor say often, we're not in fear and trembling and thinking about the second coming of Christ, but we're looking for the Christ of the second coming. We're looking for Christ to return. And that's the excitement that a Christian can have. But the door will be shut and the opportunity will be passed. And then finally, you see that the destiny was settled. The destiny was settled. Verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." See the word watch? See the word watch right there? Now, how do we watch? How do we watch? You have to stay up all the time, prop your eyelids open, hope you don't fall asleep, watch, nervous. No, that's not the watch. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be ye not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." How do we watch for the Lord? We do this by living for Him on a daily basis. Living for Him on a daily basis. One of the messages recently, Pastor emphasized the fact that we can be at this moment, at this day, I can be as close to the Lord as I've ever been in my entire life. Now, that's an exciting prospect for the Christian. I think if I reflect on my life, I probably live most of my days backslidden in some form or another. But I can live every day as close to the Lord as I've ever been before. That's how Christian life is designed to be. That's watching and being ready. Living every day, every moment in the presence, in the consciousness of the presence of Christ. Looking for and loving His appearing. And you see, as the lesson says here, there's a purifying effect. And Pastor's been preaching about Christ in you. There's a purifying effect in our lives. I'll not have such a hard time handing a tract across that counter to the young man at the grocery store if I'm thinking that this could be the day, this could be it. His destiny could be settled. My opportunity could be over. The most important thing is, does Christ know Him? Purifying effect in your life, purifying effect in my life. That's what Christ is telling us here. The destiny was settled. And so we see, as Christ talking about this wedding, what's the main thing He's trying to tell us here? There's a difference in these two groups of people. Does the Lord know you? The opportunity will not last forever. And we have an opportunity for a moment, for this time, and to affect people's lives and to encourage them with the gospel. And then the destiny is settled, and we're to watch and be excited, anxious, awaiting, looking for Christ and loving His appearing. That's the lesson for today. For this Sunday, for this weekend, encourage people to be here. Take the time in your lesson now to encourage people also to prepare for the next week's lessons and to read the questions, look through them, study them, and that'll help them prepare their heart. But these are great, the greatest stories ever told, the parables of Christ. Let's pray.